Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise God today. What a beautiful weekend the Lord's given us. Just a beautiful day out there. Just really, really love this time of year. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer as we open up in service. I just want to welcome everybody. Good to see y'all this evening. We're going to go ahead and just go to prayer and get our service going. If you can, just stand this evening in honor of the Lord as we go to the prayer. If you have a prayer request, just show by the raising of your hand. God knows and sees each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we praise your holy name. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day you've given us, Lord, for this opportunity you've given us to gather in your house and in your name. Dear Lord, as we come together, may we be in one mind and one accord. Lord, may we release everything that's just distracting us and be ready to worship and praise you, and most of all, dear Lord, to hear your word. Dear Lord, again, we thank you for those in attendance, those watching online. We thank you for allowing this technology and allowing this to happen. Lord, as we just come together tonight now, we're just going to lift up each and every prayer request, each and every need. Lord, we ask for you to be with those that have lost a loved one or a friend. Lord, for those that are struggling right now, those that are going through situations. Lord, those in nursing homes and assisted living. Lord, we ask you just to be with each and every one. Lord, as for those that are traveling also, some prayer requests for those needs, dear Lord, that you just keep them safe, bring them back at their appointed time. And Lord, we give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says,
amen,
amen, amen. Praise the Lord, praise God. While you're standing, turn to page 92, just a little talk with Jesus. Tonight for all that he's doing. You may be seated if you can. As we get ready for service tonight, just looking forward to a mighty move of God. Again, welcome for those of you watching. If you have a prayer request, just put it in the comment section there on Facebook. And for some of the prayer requests this morning, just know that we are praying for you, for the procedures you're going through. We're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering, move forward in our service, and we'll call on some special singers. Praise God. Brother Jim, if you'd ask the Lord just to bless our evening offering, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the
Amen.
Amen.
On the Sea of Galilee a storm prevailed, but the Lord arose and said, "Peace be still," and it happened just like he said. Then those round about said, "What sort of man rebukes the elements?" And they understand it happened just like he said. It happened like he said, as he cleansed the leper and he raised the dead, fed the 5,000 with five loaves of bread. Then he said, "Greater things than this shall you do, for I go to make intercession for you." And it happened just like he said. Blind Bartimaeus cried out by the road. Jesus said, "Your faith has made you whole." And it happened just like he said. Jesus said, "What do you want from me?" Bartimaeus cried, "More than I might see." And it happened just like he said. It happened like he said, as he cleansed the leper and he raised the dead, fed the 5,000 with five loaves of bread. Then he said, "Greater things than this shall you do, for I go to make intercession for you." And it happened just like he said. Jesus said, "Surely I must go away, but if I go, I'm coming back someday." And it'll happen just like he said. "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am you can be too." And it'll happen just like he said. It'll happen like he said, as he cleansed the leper and he raised the dead, fed the 5,000 with five loaves of bread. Then he said, "Greater things than this shall you do, for I go to make intercession for you." And it'll happen just like he said.
I'm going to sing "Thanks." I'm so thankful to the Lord, mostly for the presence, his presence that I can feel and I can call on in times of trouble and sadness. You know, all we have to do is speak the name Jesus. And I'm so thankful he surrounds us with his love and comfort and peace and mercy. And I'm just so thankful. give you thanks for all you have done. I am so blessed, my soul has found rest, oh Lord, I give you thanks. I thank you, Lord, for the strength you give to simply carry on through life's trials and tests, and the worst and best, I'm not ever left alone. You are always right beside me, you hear me every time I pray, and since I first began, you've been my dearest friend, and I give you all the praise. And I just want to say thanks, thanks, I give you thanks for all you have done. I am so blessed, my soul has found rest, oh Lord, I give you thanks. I give you thanks this moment, and I will continually, for each day I live, the grace you give, and I'm blessed abundantly. I can't forget that moment when in my life you made a change, and since the Spirit came, I've not been the same. I just want to give you thanks, and I just want to say thanks, thanks, I give you thanks for all you have done. I am so blessed, my soul has found rest, oh Lord, I give you thanks. And I am so blessed, my soul has found rest, oh Lord, I give you thanks.
Sister Lisa, you want to sign for me? Revelation song.
Honor, strength, and glory and power be.
With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. With wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath, the living water. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Yeah, I will adore you.
Some of us that are, takes a little bit more to get, as we walk, not always walking through the door with that praise and worship. Would you do a little bit more of that song for us tonight? I just feel the Lord in the house tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Think about what it says. He's worthy.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Clothed in rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Blessed in honor, strength, and glory and power be to you, the only wise. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder, at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Yeah, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Will never lose its power. The blood that Jesus shed for me, way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength. It flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength. Doubts and calms my fears, and it dries all my tears. The blood that gives me strength from day. You know it flows to the lowest
Bernie, if you would, please. Come on.
Praise the Lord.
I sure would hate for y'all to have to take off running if I started singing. You know what I do truly appreciate, and when you sit back and watch the talent we have in the church, the people that sing, people that sign, people that play instruments, people that play multiple instruments. It truly is amazing, especially if you ever think you're going to sit down and try to play one. Some people's just God-given talents, and some people's going to work hard at it, ain't they, buddy? I pray he gets his papa's blood and plays the guitar, not his daddy. Tonight may be just a touch different. I'm not real sure how it's all going to go. But what I do know is that I'm thankful to serve a God who's never failing, to serve a God who never quits, to serve a God who stands by my side, even though I'm as unworthy as I am. If we could turn to Judges chapter 6, I'm going to read a few scriptures. It's a very familiar set of scriptures. Judges chapter 6. We'll start with verses 11 through 15. It says, "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which is in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befalling us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. I am the least in my father's house." Brother Tommy, would you mind asking the Lord to bless, please? Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. All right. So, tonight, has anybody in here been blessed by God? Now, careful if you raise your hands, because this may be a participation type service. This may be a participation type service. I got thinking. And I was thinking, have you forgotten? If I had a title tonight, it would be, Have You Forgotten? I got thinking about what all God has done in my life. The blessings that he's poured out on me. And then a trial comes, and then I forget all those blessings and what God has done. So that's why I say tonight may be a little bit different. Tonight may be more you speaking than it is me. But has God done something for somebody that they feel like they need to testify and tell? Anybody in here? I knew I'd have one.
We don't nobody miss a word, brother.
They won't, brother. Look, I got COVID-19 back in June of 2020. Spent 71 days in the hospital. Never blamed God. I never got on a pity party. I thought about my wife that's been a diabetic type 1 for over 40 years. I thought about little Kevin laying back there in the bed. So see, I had to use a walker to get around and a wheelchair. But I'm breathing. I'm alive. And he's done more for me than you can shake a stick at. I've got a good wife. I come to a good church. Got good church family. I got good family. Everybody, as if they hadn't prayed for me, had been over at my house building something, helping me in some way. It was just God does great things when you least expect it. I've not missed a meal, praise the Lord. I've not missed a bath. I'm able to shave myself. So see, there's a lot of things I can do that a lot of people can't do. A lot of people can't do what I've done. Connie and I was down at Hanger Clinic. There was a man in a little car, just a little bitty white car, and he had his wheelchair hanging on the outside of the car. He got out of that car. He got that wheelchair and sat in it. He took what was sitting on the door, put it in the car, locked the car up, and proceeded to go to the doctor's office. And I thought, well, praise the Lord, I can use a walker to do that. So, see, it's the way you look at things. A man and his son was walking by a shoe store. And the little boy said, oh, Daddy, I need them shoes. I really do. I need them shoes. The man looked across the street and he said, son, he said, you see that little boy in a wheelchair? He don't have no feet. And you telling me you need shoes? So before you think that you're in bad shape, look around. There's people in a whole lot worse shape than you. And let me tell you, I feel good. I really do. And look, so I'm in a wheelchair part of the time. I'm on a walker part of the time. I ain't dead. I ain't laying in the bed, stuck in the bed. So see, that to me is showing God's love for me. So you can't ask no more than that when you ask for God's love.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It's all about your perspective. Don't worry. He's not the last one. Go ahead and get you something ready if you got it. So tonight, the thing is have you forgotten? A lot of times the devil brings stuff against you, and a lot of times he'll get inside your mind. I know it seems like I mention that every time I'm up here probably, but I see more and more people I talk to, the devil's in their mind, and it is beating them down and struggling, and they're stressing. They feel like they're not worthy enough to do anything for God. They're right. None of us are. But because of his grace, we're able to talk about him, to teach about him, to tell about him. And if you look in 15, he said unto them, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. One thing I've learned about God, one thing I have seen when I've studied from the front to the back, he doesn't call the rich and the famous. He calls the people with the heart that he wants. Because if you read about David, you'll see that he was just a little shepherd boy. He wasn't even thought of to bring when Samuel was anointing the brothers. He had all the other brothers lined up because they were older, they were stronger. When you physically looked at them, that's who he wanted. But God said, no, not none of them. Do you got another one? He's like, yeah, my youngest, but he's out tending the sheep. He said, well, we ain't sitting down to meet till you bring him. So he brought David in. And why? Because he said he's a man after my own heart. God seen the heart of David, not the stature of David. You see, God had a purpose in Gideon's life. He wasn't looking for somebody rich. He was looking for somebody willing. He was looking for somebody humble. He was looking for somebody that would be willing to follow him. Now you see, Gideon didn't understand at first. He's like, this angel's come down and he's telling him, you're going to deliver him. He's like, nah, I don't know about all that. Why? Because Gideon knew who he was. And he was like, how in the world could I be the person that God uses to deliver all these people? You see, you read about Gideon. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him. And they had been in 7 years. They'd been oppressed by the Midianites. They'd been beat down. They'd been tore down. You can read where they planted the fields. And Midianites and the Amalekites come and destroyed everything, destroyed it all, just to let them know you're oppressed. We're over you, and you ain't going to get the fruit of this labor. But you see, God heard their cry, and he called a man that wasn't running around saying, hey, pick me, pick me. He was just at home working, but God seen his heart. God knew that he wanted Gideon, and Gideon didn't just jump and go at first. Gideon asked God, and Gideon put God through a couple different signs if you keep reading. But if you read on into chapter 7, you'll see that Gideon winds up giving in and following the Lord. And he says, all right, Lord, this is my interpretation. All right, Lord, I'll lead them. I'll do what you want. Because you see, God's got a calling on your life. I don't care who you are. Your calling may be different. You may not be a pastor. You may not be a teacher. You may not be a musician. You may be the one that vacuums the floor. You may be the ones that set out the flowers. You may be the one that decorates. Whatever it is, God's got a calling in your life. And God's got a purpose for you. But you see, a lot of times we'll tell ourselves that our calling is not the pastor, so we're not important to the church. You're very important to the church. You're a very important person to be here, to be sent, because God's got a calling. If you're nothing but a supporter of the pastor that sits back there and listens to him preach, that calls him and prays for him, God has got a purpose in your life. Don't feel just because you're not the mightiest one that stands out, God doesn't have a purpose for you. Because he's got a calling on your life. And it's high time we quit fussing and fighting and arguing with each other over who does what or who's better than who, and we just start working together. It's time the church comes, and I'm not talking about inside this church. I'm talking about the whole church. We come together. We start worshiping and praising God, and we read what's in the Word. We don't worry about what the denominations are because we get into the Word of God, because last time I checked, the man made the denominations. God just made the Word. And it's up to us to get into that. And we got to get together. And we got to be in one mind and one accord. And we'll see things like in Acts when the walls were, when the prison doors were open because they prayed for them. We need to start living for God and putting all this stuff to the side and start working with each other, because God's got a calling for each of us. And the calling he's got for us is to work together. The preacher shouldn't be fighting with each other. The teacher shouldn't be fighting with each other. We should all be in one mind and one accord and do all that we can. God used Gideon when it seemed like, honestly, if I was Gideon, I'd probably been like, I ain't so sure about this, Lord. So I went to Pollen County High School. So if I get off on my math, y'all, y'all may just have to help me. So, that's people that went to Pollen County too. So, in verse 3, it says, now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And their return of the people. Now Gideon's talking to Gideon is talking to the people he's taking to war. Because you see, God's going to use him to deliver the Israelites. So he says, if any of you are scared, if any of you are fearful, go back home. Now, if I'm preparing an army, one thing I know is I want numbers. So if I say, if any of y'all are scared, you can leave. Brother Lynn, I'm hoping maybe 10, 15 people leave. But if I read it correctly, 22,000 of them left. And left 10,000 there. Now you may say, well, that's 10,000 steer. But if I'm looking through my flesh, that's 22,000 I'm watching leave. But hold on, let me count this again. This can't be right. So you got 22,000 leaving, and God tells them, Gideon, that's not good enough. You still got too many people. Because when they win, they're going to think they done it. One thing we got to understand is these trials and these situations we face. Uncle Terry will be the first to tell you, it ain't him that's won. It's the prayers of the church. It's the prayers of people that have been fasting and praying and seeking God and willing to stand in the gap when he was in the hospital, when he was hurting, when he was struggling, when he probably didn't have the strength to be praying and seeking God when he was so sick. But he had a family members here praying and seeking God.
It wasn't by his strength that he's here tonight. It wasn't by his strength that he's okay. Yeah, he's been through the ringer. He's been through a lot. But what did he tell you when he stood up? He didn't tell you all the bad and negative that's happened to him. He said, I'm still alive. God still got a purpose for him. God still got a reason for him. So he's still alive and he's still kicking. And he's still walking around. God sees his heart. God knows what he needs. Yes, there's trials he faces. Yes, there's probably days, I don't know, but there's probably days him and Aunt Connie are probably a little discouraged. But that's what we're for, to step in that gap and to encourage each other. So, all right, Gideon, let them go. So 22,000 leave. You read on down. God tells them, they went to drink water. Anybody that's on their hands and knees and lapping like a dog, put them to one side. Those that cup with their hand, put them to one side. All those that lap like a dog, he sent them home. So we started out. We started out with 32,000 people. 22,000 went home. Then 9,700 went home. So if my math is correct, 31,700 people left and 300 stayed. 31,700 people. And you may say, well, that's not so bad. Well, if you read in verse 12, it says, and the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. Their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. So if I'd have went and seen the army, I'm going to sit and look at them laying out like grasshoppers. God, you just sent 31,000 people home. Do you see these? Now, Gideon didn't say that. Don't say he said this. But I'm just thinking in my mind. Brother Eddie always talks about his imagination. My mind wanders too. So, just like, God, you just sent 31,000 people home. Do you see all these people? But Gideon, all right, Lord. If this is what you're going to do, you said you'll do it. So if you keep reading on, you'll see where the 300 won the army. They won the battle. They beat the army. God delivered. God moved. Won everything was against them. You see, one thing I've learned about the God I serve is that when all odds are stacked against me, that's usually when I completely turn it over to him. And he's just sitting back there saying, whenever you get ready, I got you, son. I got you, son. Don't worry about it. Whenever you get ready. And it's only then a lot of times that I'll turn and give it to him. Because if it's manageable, I can handle it myself. I don't need the prayers of the church. I can handle this, Lord. You know, it's okay. And then the next thing I know is I'm on my knees face down. God, please let anybody be praying for me. Because you see, God delivered them. He delivered the Israelites. He heard their cry. So what I'm asking you is, have you forgotten? Have you forgotten what God's done in your life? Have you forgotten what he's delivered you from? What he's strengthened you? The times he's helped you? Brother Jim, bet nobody else, they may have forgotten. But you hadn't forgotten the time when you was without a job for a while, have you? I bet you and Sister Elaine hadn't forgotten about that, have you? Did God deliver for you? So not partially, not some of the way, but God delivered from you. God delivered for you. Why? Because he said he would. He said he would take care of us. He said, if they'll take care of the birds, what more are you than the birds? He's got us. We worry so much and we get into these things where the trials hit us and they keep hitting us and they keep hitting us. And a lot of times it's something like what Uncle Terry's went through. Because Uncle Terry's is not a quick battle. It wasn't over in a week. It wasn't over in 2 days. How many days you spend in the hospital? 70? 71 in a hospital. I spent 3 days in the hospital when I broke my femur. 3 days? 2 or 3 days. I don't know if I was starving, but that was the best food I've eaten that time. So I must have been starving, but it was delicious. But 2 days, I was already like, I need to get up. I need to get going. They got your little gown on and stuff. And I told Karen, I was like, I need my shorts on. She's like, well, we'll ask the doctor. I was like, I'm not asking nobody. I need to get this stuff on because when they come in here, I need to be ready where I can go. And we're looking at 2 days. So I'm like, I can't just lay here. I can't just sit here. The battles like that weren't bad because they were 2 days. I could see the end. I couldn't put no weight on my right leg for 6 weeks, so I sit at home. Karen would get up and go to work. She'd have me a lunchbox, but I think it was a cooler. It had drinks, snacks. Aunt Sharon had brought me a basket that had a crossword puzzle, snacks. Really ain't seen the bad in this. So see, some of these things you think are bad, they wind up turning out pretty good. Because then my mother-in-law, once I got to where I get good on crutches, her and Brother Eddie would come take me to lunch. Ain't Brendan, ain't Linda come took me lunch one time. So, I mean, if you think it's bad, God's going to work it out for you. Now, was it a burden on Karen? Absolutely. Absolutely. But you see, trials that you face that are a little quick, they're easier to deal with. We feel like, whew, man, that was hard. That lasted a day. But when you're in the hospital for 71 days, it starts wearing and tearing on you. And then the devil will start beating you down, and he'll get in your mind and get in your head, and he'll start beating down on you, and he'll start telling you, you may never make it home. You may never get out of here. When I went back to surgery, they give me morphine before I went to the holding cell, whatever they call that. You go in there, I don't really know what they call it, but you're sitting there waiting, and they come in, and they're like, you sign all the papers or whatever. So you're sitting in there, and the doctor has come in, and he talked to us when we had surgery, and he was amazing. I told him, I was like, you know, I thank the good Lord I didn't hit my head. Well, he prays with us. Well, he comes in this room, and it's Karen, myself, and Brother Eddie, I think. I don't think my dad had got there yet. And he was like, oh, who do we got in here? I was like, he's my father-in-law. I said, but he's also our pastor. You know, he's like, that's great. He said, that's great to have him here. Let's go ahead and pray before we leave, brother. So he threw Brother Eddie into praying before he left again. So I thought that was pretty good. But when he was in that holding cell and you get ready and they'd give me morphine before we went in there. And it just kind of, I guess, it don't work good with me because they had me and I was wanting to just cry. And I don't know what it was. You're like, what is wrong with me? I'm just sitting here. So anyhow, you get through that, and he starts wheeling me back and tell Karen, she kisses me, bye, I love you, and you go back to surgery. And there was something I was thinking on the way back to surgery. I never mentioned it to Karen. God, I never would have. But on my way back to surgery, I said, you know what? If they put me to sleep and I never wake up, my heart quits, I have a heart attack, something happens, I'll never know the difference. I got thinking I'd feel bad for Karen, the kid. Hopefully they would miss me. Hopefully they wouldn't be partying too much. Hopefully they'd miss me. But then I got thinking about I would wake up. When I woke up, there'd be no hurting. There'd be no pain. There'd be no sorrow. There'd be no struggling. So as I'm thinking this, and this is just a little, I mean, they got you in the bed and they just, it didn't seem like it rolled you 100 yards, you know, but all this is running through my mind. And I'm thinking that what a glorious day it'll be when we do get there. If I never wake up, and I didn't want to tell her, hey, if I don't wake up, I'm going to be okay. Because then me and her both have been crying as they wheel us out of there, as they wheeled us back in there. But that was going through my mind, thinking how good God has been in my life. He's been so amazing to me. He's blessed me with such a good family. We grew up in church. When my mom and dad would miss here and there, Aunt Sharon would take us to church. I've always had family members that taught us the Word of God, that preached to us. Uncle Terry, I can remember when we was kids, Uncle Terry up here preaching and us listening to him. I can remember how blessed I was to have all that. And then a lot of times I get thinking, until you go through a trial or something, you forget about what all God's done for you. You forget about the blessings of yesterday. Now, I don't want to just live on those blessings of yesterday, but I don't want to forget those blessings either, because God has been too good to me for me to just forget and overlook those blessings, just for me to forget and start getting down and burdened and wore out, because I can see what He's done. I can see what He's done for Uncle Terry. Yes, those were 71 long days in the hospital, but you know what? The 72nd, 73rd, 74th day, even though it was rough, but it sure was nice being at home, wasn't it, brother? Because there's little small steps that God does His blessings sometimes. Sometimes He opened up the windows of heaven and He pours them out. And sometimes it's little by little by little by little. And He's continuing to bless Uncle Terry little by little by little by little. I probably should have warned or asked, but there's a brother that sits in the back that I know God did surgery on. So I was wondering if he wouldn't mind telling us how good God has been to him.
Well, I knew he was going to do that. I could just tell. I got to come up here so I can be on film. Yeah, so they can see me. You know, I thank God. It's just like Brother Tony was saying, we're humans. We forget. We forget a lot of things that God does for us. And all you have to do is look around at the people that you prayed for and see the miracle. Every person in here is a miracle. Brother Jim, you're a miracle. Jim McCoy, you're a miracle, and God's not forgotten about you. And He won't forget about you. I tell everybody, I say, you know, if God had a refrigerator, He'd have your picture on it. That means a lot. And I'm just like you. I'm not fond of surgery. Surgery is not my favorite thing in the world. And, you know, I don't take medicine for anything, so when they give me medicine, it pretty much, you know, it's like, that's it, you know. And I remember, you know, all my life I'd been to the doctor. Well, not all my life, but every time I'd ever been to the doctor, the doctor's like, clean bill of health, you're a little overweight, blah, 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 everything's good. We went to the kidney doctor, and I never forget what he said. He walked in there, he said, we got a problem. And I thought, never heard those words before, you know. And I'll be honest with you, for a little while there, Brother Terry, I felt fear. Fear is real. And fear comes at you when you least expect it. But there were people in this church that took time to pray for me. There were people that I don't even know, Brother Terry, that took time to pray for me. And I'm like you. I wasn't really too much worried about myself because I know where I'm going. But I was concerned about my family. What's Tabitha going to do? And what's this? And what's that? And even went to the point that I went and I talked to my banker. And I couldn't quit crying as I was talking to him. And this young lady's looking at me like, what in the world? And I said, look, this is the deal. If it doesn't end well, I want everything to be fine. And she looked at me and she said, well, I'm going to add you to our church prayer list. And I thought, ain't that something? You know, I'm coming here trying to get everything right, and she's saying I'm going to be okay, you know? And those words of encouragement, she's a young lady, but she's always, you know, been willing to help and pray and just pure heart. And Sister Nikki, Sister Sharon, Brother Allen, I'll never forget what y'all did. I'll never forget what God did when I came out of the operating room and the doctor said, we got it all. We got it all. You know, things go through your mind as you face things like that, and you think, of course, you're going to Google it. Don't ever do that. And, you know, oh, it's the fast spreading kind, and it's this and it's that. And you're like, oh, you done diagnosed yourself, you know. And he said, we got it all and everything looks good, you know. But I thank God, and not just for that. I thank God that there's two boys sitting on that pew right there. Because, you know, I had a dream before they were born. And I told Tabitha, I said, God's going to give us two boys. We're having a boy and a girl. So I'm telling you, whatever. I seen two boys, and that's what God showed me. So there's going to be two boys. Pretty sure there are two boys over there. Saying, I got right with God on that one, didn't I? But I'm thankful. You know, you look back at their life, and I'm thankful that we were Christian parents. It ain't always been easy, but we did the right thing. You know, we took our kids to church. Mama stood in the gap more than one night praying for her boys. Still does. Prays for God's hand of protection and God's will for their life. I'm thankful for a godly wife. Not many people can say that they have a godly wife. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for godly sons. I'm thankful for godly extended family. You know, I'm thankful for a godly church family. And let's not forget, I was just sitting back there reading about how, you know, you go a little further down in chapter number 6, and they were talking about how they took Gideon took all the idols that his father set up and destroyed them. And when he destroyed them, you can go back and read, you Bible readers can go back and read it. The next morning, the people woke up and said, what in the world happened to the statues that we had? We're going to go get, you know, and of course, you know, bad news travels. It was that Gideon guy. I saw him. I was up here last night at midnight, and he was up here with the big old chain taking him down. Let's go get Gideon. Now we only had 300 people. You know, 32,000 people are gone, you know. 300 people. But he had God on his side. And when he had God on his side, what did he do? He built up an altar. Because he built it on top of that site where he pulled down. Ooh, that's powerful right there. Let us never forget the altars that we placed in the presence of God. When God did, I'm going to tell you something. In each and every one of our lives, when God did something for us, we built an altar, whether we remember that or not. Sometimes we've got to go back to that altar and say, God, I remember what you did here, and you don't change. You're the same. But I'm thankful that God brought me through, brought us through, and is bringing us through. There's nothing he can't do. There's no relationship he can't mend. There's no disease he's not bigger than. You know, my wife, she sang that song, Revelation song, and I promise you, if she'd have sung it one more time, there'd have been a fat boy running around this church. I about couldn't contain it back there. And you know, I don't run. I'm built for comfort, not speed. Watch it over there. But you know, and I was thinking about Brother Tony. God's holiness pervades his entire being. Everybody says God is love, and God is my healer, and God is a waymaker. God is holy. First of all, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Y'all listen, for us as humans to be able to court with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I don't know about y'all, but that means something to me. In the middle of the night when I'm hurting in the bed and I can't call out to anybody else, I can call out to God. And like Brother Eddie said this morning, the line's not busy. He's not having a bad day or a bad night. He's always right there listening. And it's not in the, like Brother Thomas was talking about this morning in Sunday school, it's not in the big booms. It's in the still, small voice that God speaks. And I don't know about y'all, but God speaks directly into my soul and tells me, I'm your healer. I'm your way maker. I'll do something for you that nobody else can do. Amen. Have we forgotten? That's awesome. Have we forgotten? Thank you, brother.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Romans 2 and 11 says, there's no respect of persons with God. What he did for Brother Chris, he'll do for you. What he did for Uncle Terry, he'll do for you. I'd never truly appreciated a testimony service until one night, I can't remember if it was a youth night or something, but I got to stand up here and, I don't know what you call it, call on the people, lead, whatever it is, got to call on the people. And as I was sitting here and I was calling on everybody, it was like they were talking to me, because, of course, I was calling on them. Well, Sister Tabitha, when they were talking to me, I was receiving their stories, not just the church. So that night, I truly seen what a difference a testimony service made. I truly seen the testimonies people had. When I was younger, I was like, God, I'd hear Brother Keith get up and give his testimony. But man, I don't have a testimony like that. And I don't want to be some huge testimony. But I learned that's not my life. Just like God's not called me to be Brother Eddie behind the pulpit. Really wish he would, because everybody knows how good Brother Eddie does. But God has called me to be who I am. And he's given me my life for my testimony to tell people. And my testimony is going to touch people that your testimonies may not. And your testimony is going to touch people that my testimony have not. So we see that God is no respecter of persons. We see what God has done in people's life. And I don't want y'all to just think it's only the older people that God has touched. You have to be 30s, 40s on up for God to touch your lives. Because you see, every Sunday and Wednesday, I get an amazing, amazing honor to spend with Children's Church on Sunday mornings. And if you want honesty, you ask the kid. But if you want to see God really shine, talk to these kids. See where what they've learned, and when they get excited about something they've learned, to see their excitement and their joy, and to see them really catch it and get it and just want to tell you about it. And you can ask them, hey, what about Samuel? And they'll start telling you all kind of stuff. What about so-and-so? And they'll start telling you. I love seeing what they know. But to see that it fire ignite inside them and how happy they get and excited telling you about stuff. And I'm like, why have I lost that excitement? Have I forgotten how amazing it is to see what God's done? And I think we just get in ruts of life. We get in ruts and we get so caught up with work, home, kids, work, home, kids, work, and you just get in a rut sometimes. That's why I think it's great to take a couple of days off work sometimes, and you don't have to go on vacations and spend thousands of dollars, but everybody be at home. Go see a movie. Watch a movie on the couch. Pop popcorn. Just break up the monotony of life sometimes, because you do get caught so much into repetitious. Now, I'm a person who likes routine, so I like the way routines go, but sometimes you need to break it up just to enjoy life, just to remember what God has done for you. We got an amazing group of teenagers. Brother Chris was talking about his boys. His boys are mixed in with quite a few more teenagers that have amazing stories. You want to see somebody start talking to you, get a teenager. I've had them in there before start asking questions. And you get on a conversation with them. You got a lesson plan. We never even get to the lesson because they're going through stuff. They face up. They get asking you questions. Then before you know it, you're like, hold on now. We're getting deep in this. I'm going to have to get Brother Eddie or somebody down here with this. But to see their life, to see it ignited in their eyes. So I'm not going to get no more people, but I can tell you the few that I know. I've watched God deliver Aunt Sharon with cancer. I'll tell you one other thing, and it's nothing to do with me. Brother Allen had I think it was cancer in his leg one time. And me and him was talking, and he was like, I just don't want to lose my hair. He said, I don't want to lose my hair. He's like, I don't care if my beard falls out. I just don't want to lose my hair. So we was talking that day, and I was like, don't worry about it, man. And he was like, well, they say. I was like, they don't know what God can do. Just nonchalantly, we're just having a conversation. But if I said it, I meant it. I wasn't kidding about God can handle it. God will take care of it. But I also didn't get down on hands and knees and pray right then and there. I just knew what God can do. Because I've seen him do it time and time and time again. And if he said he'll give you your heart's desire, then he'll give you your heart's desire. Well, Brother Allen went through, did you go through chemo and all? He went through chemo and all, and guess what he never lost? He never lost his hair. And even though somebody may be like, that's crazy, that's still something that God done, because it was out of the ordinary, because it was in the ordinary to lose the hair. But it's out of the ordinary for him to keep it. But God moved and blessed in his life. Luke, has God ever done anything for you? 100% he has. The job you got, Luke, who gave it to you? I can't hear you. God gave it to him. He'd been talking about it forever, and he was like, man, if it's the Lord's will, I know I'll get it, but I really want to get it. I really won't. And it worked out. You see, one thing I've learned is in every calling, there's an action. Gideon, just like my brother was saying, the action after the calling is the following. Following sometimes is easy, and sometimes it takes us to do things we don't want to do. Gideon had to go tear down the shrines, he had to tear every bit of them down. He did it at night, and like he said, it was all against him. But he had to do what God called him to do. And once he committed, he had that action to follow the calling. Look at what God did with him through his life. One thing I want you to understand tonight wasn't about putting anybody on the spot. I hope I didn't embarrass anyone. I hope I didn't offend anyone. But I just got thinking about how great God is. I got thinking of how good he really is to us, how good he is to our family. And we take the most simplest things for granted. You take that for granted until something happens and you can't breathe. Last year, my mom had went to the hospital. She was having problems breathing. She said, she had AFib. She said, I could handle my heart fluttering. But when I couldn't breathe is when I knew it was serious. I had to get somewhere. So when we can't take that deep breath, then we start stressing, uh-oh, something's wrong. But I'm here to tell you tonight, have you forgotten what God's done for everybody? Don't forget what he's done in your life. Don't forget what he's done in others' life. The testimonies we have, Brother Chris said God performed surgery right here that night on him. Delivered him. Performed the surgery right there. And I've watched many miracles happen here in this church. I've watched God move. I've watched God deliver. And I've watched people walk away and never come back. And I just wonder, have they forgotten? Have they forgotten how good God is? Have they forgotten how good he's been to us? Brother Eddie's right now is with Mama. And I know Brother Eddie is... say, Brother Eddie's not said anything to me, but I know it's his mama. But I could take Brother Eddie into that room right now. And I could say, hey, Brother Eddie, have you forgotten? What do you think he's going to tell me? He's going to tell me of the times where Mama thought she was losing her mind and God delivered. He's going to tell me of the times when his brother broke his arm and they wouldn't straighten out. But today, he's got a straight arm. He's going to tell me of the times the doctor said, take your son home and enjoy him because he won't live to be school age. And if I'm not mistaken, we're talking about Paul and Kenny Matthew again. If I'm not mistaken, he was 43 this year. So even though Brother Eddie is sitting with Mama, and even though it may be weighing on him, I guarantee you, he'll tell you he ain't forgotten how good God is. We're going to go through trials. We're going to go through situations in life. That's part of life. Don't quit. Don't give up. And don't forget what God has done. I told you in Romans 2:11, he's no respecter of persons. What he done for Brother Eddie, He'll do for you. Each and every one of us have our own testimonies. Each and every one of us has had God do something in our lives. We could sit here all night, and every person, no matter if you wanted to speak or not, if we give you a microphone, you could tell me something God has done in your life. I got a 9-year-old son that'll tell you something God's done in his life. God has been too good to us for us to forget what he's done. He's been too good for us to let the news or the weight of all this going on in the world beat us down and tear us down. Because you see, if we let the devil beat us down and tear us down and we forget, then God's not going to have a people left to be telling people about him. And that's our calling. That's our job, is to be a witness. If you wouldn't all mind standing, you can bow your head and close your eyes. I never want to dismiss without an altar call. But tonight I wanted to tell you that God is good. He is the same God who healed Uncle Terry. He's the same God who healed Brother Chris, who healed Aunt Sharon. He's the same God who's blessed Luke with his job. He's the same God who lets me take a breath. He's the same God who allows us to be able to talk about him. If there's anybody who needs prayer tonight, please come down. You'll have people praying for you. No one wants to come down tonight. Know that we love you. We're praying for you. And no matter what goes on in life, please don't ever, ever forget how good God is and what he's done in your life. Brother Jim.
Praise the Lord. Come on up, brother.
let your love shine through me in the night. Lead me, Lord, I'll follow anywhere you open up the door. Let your word speak to me. Show me what I've never seen before. Lord, I want to be a witness. You can take what's wrong. Clouds of doubt hover o'er me. Storm clouds toss me to and fro. There is a place I can go. 'Cause he's a ship for every tempest.
Thank you.
You tonight, have you forgotten how good God is? Never forget what He's done for you. Never forget carrying that cross for you at the hill of Golgotha. I wish I'd express to you how much I love each and every one of you. I'm so blessed and thankful to be part of a church family that loves each other and prays for each other and that is there for each other no matter what. I'm so thankful to be able to be a part of y'all.
Isn't God good? Amen. Miss Lori? I saw the post this morning on the surgery, and also Miss Sister Hug. She's got such a wonderful spirit, and she just wants to just reach out and let the Lord reach out and minister so many. Let's keep her in that situation, our prayers too. I said to Brother Tony this evening, it's just great when God takes over service and Holy Spirit, and also the excitement and that the young people bring, and it's very contagious. Y'all keep it up. Keep working for the Lord, and He's going to touch each and every situation as we pray tonight. Amen?
Amen.
Yes, Brother Luke.
This had been on my heart for this like past 2 weeks. We talked about it in teen class Wednesday night. A young boy drowned and died at 4 years old. 4 years old. And then a young girl died. She was a ninth grader at Bremen. And right when it happened, I got to thinking of my family, my niece, Chris, Gabe, Lass, Tabitha, Sean. I thought everybody in my family. And that I take for granted every single day I get to see them. Every single Sunday I come, I take every single one of y'all for granted. Because I don't think of losing anybody. I've been so blessed in my life. I've never lost a loved or a close one. But if a blink of an eye, we could all be gone. Don't take the person you're holding next to you for granted. You know, I get to thinking sometimes. Brother Chris just told me he was proud of me. I'm like a son to him. I don't take that for granted. You know, I grew up by that dad. Now I feel like Joe because God's given me about 12 of them. You know, he doubled it up for me. But, you know, I just get to thinking. Every single time I put my feet on the wood floor of my bedroom, I take it for granted, you know. We don't need to take our loved ones for granted because they can be gone tomorrow. You know, and that's what God's done for me. I've forgotten what God's done for me. I've forgotten that he gave me a mom, that he gave me the things I have every single day. Because they could be taken tomorrow. And we also talked about if we were taken tomorrow, what would we have left behind? Would we have saved souls? Would we have lost souls? You know, 5 years ago, I ruined my testimony. You know, I can't go talk to some kids that I was hanging out 5 years ago because I was living what they're living now. But life can show and reflect it. That's why we have to live every single day how the Bible tells us to live. But I just wanted to tell y'all, I don't take none of y'all for granted. And I apologize for taking y'all for granted. I take every time you come and give me that beautiful smile every morning and hug me, I take it for granted. I don't say thank you. And I love every single one of y'all. I want you to know I love and I appreciate y'all. And I just wanted to say I apologize because I do. Love y'all.
Amen. Those same taken for granted. Like you said, that's our message tonight. Don't take anything the Lord's given us and his blessings for granted. All hearts and minds clear? Yes, ma'am. It's obedience. Amen.
I wasn't here this morning because God has called me to use my voice for his glory. It's not about me, it's about him. I went to save this morning and I shared a little of my testimony. After it was over, a young girl came to me and said, I'm so thankful that you said God healed you. After 2 years, her husband's been trying for several occasions. God has allowed me to witness some young woman that wants what I have. And I pray that I always be obedient, even though Amen. The story may get old. You may not want to hear what God's done for me. I'll never want to forget what he's done for me.
Amen. That's right. That is it's a motto to live by that is so powerful. It's more than a motto, it's life. Absolutely. As you said, if Gideon, as he was told, God, that's not going to work. I'm not going to divide them. I'm not going to split the 300. It's not what God had in store. Praise God. Thank you, each and every one, for your testimonies. Brother Tony, thank you for leading us in the Word tonight, and we just really appreciate you. Let's be in much prayer for Brother Eddie and his family, and for Sister Kate, and a special, special family. And all the other prayer requests have come forward. I'm sure there may be some more put on the page tonight as we look at it. But let's continue to keep each other in prayer and lift each other up. Because we don't know what burdens the other folks are carrying or what needs or their situations. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your presence, dear Lord. We thank you for the Holy Ghost, Lord. We thank you for allowing your Spirit to be amongst us in our service tonight. We thank you, Lord, for opening up our hearts. Dear Lord, for directing and guiding us, dear Lord, may we continue to be obedient to you. Lord, as we bring each and every situation to you in prayer and those needs and those situations, maybe we think they're too small or maybe I've been too bad, but the Lord, we're just releasing each and every situation over to you. I thank you for these young people. I thank you for Brother Tony, as he brought forth. I thank you for everyone that's here, the talent that you've given us, dear Lord, and each and everyone in attendance. Lord, as we prepare to depart, dear Lord, this service is not over. Lord, your spirit will not leave us if we continue to be in service to you, dear Lord, and allow you to minister to us in our daily walk. Lord, be with us as we go home. Be with us on our jobs each and every day. Strengthen our families. Lord, those who weren't able to be with us tonight, dear Lord, may they feel your holy presence. Lord, again, as we prepare to depart, dear Lord, we ask you to keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time, dear Lord, and we give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, wonderful evening.